Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. But he wanted me to remind you that you are also. He wants you to make a way where there is no way. Taking spiritual warfare seriously and doing more damage to the kingdom of darkness than we have. He expects us to be those miracle workers and do more miracles than he did, as he said in his word. Because he only had 3.5 years on this earth. He expects us to not just keep his promises, but to show other people what those promises are and make them come to pass through us, through our prayers, through our words, through our actions, our behavior, our thoughts, in our lifestyle, and everything that we do. Amen?
Amen.
And so we are studying today about introduction, just the introduction. There's so much more coming. I'm excited about that. Everyone that's new and learning, and everyone that is repeating, I always ask the Lord, show me new revelation, Lord. Let me look at your word like a treasure mine where I dig out more every time I hear your word, because there's so much more that we don't know. The closer we get to God, the more that we realize we don't know as much of him as we should, because he's so vast and omnipotent. Amen. And so we are going to at least dig deeper into the spiritual warfare for our family. And so if you have already gone through this lesson, be open to have the Holy Spirit show you new perspectives of how you could be more effective in warring for your family in the spirit. Today, when we had spoken in tongues together as a corporate anointing, the Holy Spirit was showing me that when we were doing that, he was breaking through where there was no breakthrough before. Because of the anointing that we did corporately together, he was using us as an explosive bomb in the spirit realm together. Because if one of us could pray and cause 1,000 of our enemy to flee from us, and two of us together pray causes an exponentially greater amount of 10,000 of the enemy to flee from us, look how many of us are here at ABC Church praying together this morning. And it was for our loved ones. It was for our family. It was for things that you have been standing on the word to see and have not seen it. You shall see it. There was a breakthrough in the spirit and a quickening and a suddenly. And there was victory. He told me to keep praying through until there was that victory. As you pray in the Spirit, you listen to the Holy Spirit because he's the leader. He's the guide. He's the one doing what he wants to do through us. And so as you listen to your Spirit, do not stop praying until you feel that release, until it's done, until it's finished. Otherwise, it's half-baked. And if you're in the middle of a battle and things are turning towards what God wants, you don't want to stop that, do you? You want to follow it through to the end because the motion has already started. So learn when you pray in the Spirit to listen to the Spirit and do what he guides you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Well, when we're going to war, we must have strategy or it's not going to be successful. Many Christians are not aware that we live in a battleground called Earth. This is where we were born. And the battle is between God and Satan. And the war was over man and this Earth, the greatest creation that God has created. The devil was able for a season to become the God of this world, to trick Adam and Eve. But then God pulled out all stops And he sent in his best weapon, Jesus, to defeat the enemy and to take back what is rightfully ours and delegate to us that are those that are born again and those that are spirit-filled. Why would he fill us with the Holy Spirit if he didn't want us to operate in the Spirit? So Christians who aren't operating in the Spirit or aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit are born again and saved, but they are not using the weapons of their warfare. And they have guns of the Spirit, but there's no bullets in them. And we have to utilize to defeat our enemy with the words of our mouth and declare the word of God, because it's not our word that makes any changes. We don't have the power. It's God's word and his anointing and his power, and we have to remember that, who we represent as we go out into this world, and the challenges will come and the challenges that we do face, but we go forth unafraid. Unafraid. Fearing not, because we know who our God is, and he is greater than all of them. When the devil sees us standing in that authority, the devil runs from us because he's afraid of who we have become in Christ Jesus, acting as Jesus on this earth, representing him as his ambassadors with full authority, full power. God did not give us partial power. We have it all. Now we have to wield those weapons of our warfare. And then we can win the war. And then in our lives, because Jesus already won the entire war, but we have little battles. Seems big to some of us, but they're little to him. But he knows that he already had the victory. But we have to wage that war and fight that war to bring about enemy. Every war requires time and sacrifice in order to see progress. To win any battle, we must have the right strategies and resources, because victories do not happen by chance. Jesus already has the victory, but we have to walk that out. Jesus sacrificed his all for us. How much should we sacrifice to pray for others, to draw Christians closer to Jesus, and to bring the unsaved to know our Jesus? God does not want lukewarm Christians. We cannot be a friend to the world, because that's like being an enemy to God. That's what it says in James 4:4. The true enemies of God are Satan, demons, devils, and evil spirits, but we should put under our feet our enemies and tread on the devil, and not allow the demons, devils, and evil spirits to cause any more challenges in our lives and in the lives of our family, friends, and loved ones. But it doesn't come through complacently sitting there and saying, okay, God's going to take care of it. We have to do something about it. Okay? So, we must pray for them. They don't know what they're doing. It's like the God of this world is blinding their eyes. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Amplified Classic Version, the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds. And to be honest, there's a lot of Christians who act like unbelievers and allow the God of this world to blind their eyes too. That they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. We have to intercede daily for those that we love. What's the definition of intercession? In Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, that's a long name. Intercession, paga in the Greek, means to make intercession, to strike upon, to be against, to assail anyone with petitions, not with warfare weapons that are carnal. And to pray on the behalf of another. So God can use you to stand in the gap for others, so God can help them. Intercession is entreaty in favor of another. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul requested that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people. Hebrews 7:25 in the New King James Version says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he, Jesus, always lives to make intercession for them. So if he's interceding, the Holy Spirit's interceding, he wants us to intercede. We have to imitate our God. Amplified Classic Version of Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he, Jesus, is able to also save to the uttermost, meaning save completely, save perfectly, save finally, and for all time and all eternity, those who come to God through him, since he, Jesus, is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him and intervene for them. So when you intercede, when you pray for someone else, God intervenes. It gives him permission because he can't move without God's word being spoken forth and a seed being planted so that the Holy Spirit can water it and bring forth the harvest. You have to be the seeder, the sower, the waterer, the reaper in the spirit. And then God will help you with all of heaven's resources to make those prayers come to pass. In Jesus' name, because the angels of God listen to the voice of the word of God. If they don't hear anything, they're just sitting there doing nothing. You got to speak it out. You got to pray it out. You got to decree it, affirm it, declare it, and then they'll go do what the word says. Amen?
Amen.
Romans 8:27, New King James Version. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit of God, he makes intercession for the saints according to whose will? God's will. So when we pray in tongues and we don't know what's going on with a loved one, the Holy Spirit does. We'll pray in tongues, and then he'll cover the whole situation for us. Amplified Classic says, and he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. So I'd rather hook up with the Holy Ghost when I don't know what's going on. But when I know what they need, and I know what the promises of God say, and I know what the word says, then I have to decree it. You have to decree it. We have to claim it. And we got to get in the devil's face and tell him.
Amen.
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 Understand who you are fighting with. It's not the person you just argued with. It's the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind that. That caused that strife, that caused that argument. If you keep pounding on that person, keep getting upset at that person, keep getting offended by that person, you're letting the demons beat up both of you. Let's just face it. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood. Who do we fight against? Ephesians 6:12, New King James Version. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And the Amplified Classic says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they aren't working. So when you all get all huffed and puffed at somebody who just ticked you off, remember, don't get mad at them. Rescue that person from the demons of arguing, from the demons of strife, because where there is strife comes every evil work. We don't want to let more in, do we? So hello, let's not fight. That's easier said than done, is it not? I got some yeps to that one. Yeah, but you know what? Where we are weak, God is strong, and he helps us. And so this is where we can intercede for our loved ones and ourselves and ask God to help us with the discipline so that we could walk in the fruit of the Spirit and remember who we're battling. And instead of battling our loved one or the person, let's remember we're battling the demons trying to make us argue, and let's not get into offense. If we change our mindset, it's easier for the Holy Spirit to help us, okay? Let's just remember, don't get mad at that person. Forgive them. It makes it easier to forgive, makes it easier to release them and release the offense, and makes it easier for us to bless them and pray the Word of God what they do need, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you love them with the love of the Lord. Even if you say it with your heart, I forgive them, but you're still hurting, you started the process of forgiving. Then the Holy Spirit starts softening your heart towards them. Amen? Okay, foundational prayers. A. Okay, we're just starting. Hallelujah. Remember to confess your sins before you get started. So why did I just have that big speech? Because I knew what number one was. You cannot go into battle in sin because it won't be effective. Unforgiveness will then roadblock everything that we pray. So you might as well just give up and let God clean your heart out. All right? And so confess all your sins. And if you don't know of any sins, then you say, Lord, I'm not aware of any sins since the last time I confessed, according to 1 John 1:9. And you pray that prayer forth. And if you don't know what that prayer is, then go back to day one healing school and keep going through all the lessons and you'll learn it. Pray these prayers that we're going to show you today, at least daily. And if you are in big attacks with your family, or they're going through a lot of attacks, maybe step it up to twice daily, or as much as the Holy Spirit lets you do or tells you to do for yourself and family members. Remember, it takes two to tangle. It's always easy to say, I was right, they were wrong. But if we fought, we're both wrong. So I have to repent if I took the bait to get in there. Even if my point was correct and they're not listening, I was wrong in the manner I was presenting it or something for them to get upset or offended in some way, shape, or form. And some people call it discussions. And as long as someone gets upset, that's sin. And if you are causing sin, then you need to go repent and ask the Holy Ghost to help you learn how to be more diplomatic so that we could not offend people. And I do that all the time. And it's working, isn't it, honey? Yeah, he better say yes because he doesn't want to sleep on the couch. Just kidding. Yeah, we're all working on it very hard because we want our prayers to be pure and holy without the hindrances and blockages of unforgiveness and offense, okay? And so when you pray for your family and yourself, pray aloud and personalize it. When you're studying the Bible and you see a verse that you really love, I don't just speak it in the way that it's written. I apply it personally so I can declare it over myself or my loved ones. For example, the place in place of the family names, you could put we or us, or wherever the prayer uses the word you. Always address your prayers to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, or they will not be activated. We have to pray to the Heavenly Father according to the scriptures. We're just following God's rules in the name of Jesus, because no one can get to the Father except by through Him. And that's where the power is, and it's in the name of Jesus anyway. So I'm going to give you some examples. And then if you're not doing it, start doing it with everything that you pray. Don't pray it the way it's written if you want it for yourself or to be for others specifically. So I usually say this. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray Psalm 23 for myself, my spouse, and my family. Now, if you're retired and you have 5 hours to pray every single person's name that was ever born in your family on earth, you can do that. If you are people like us that have a lot to do on our plate, then we just say family and God knows who they are. Okay? So I pray for myself, spouse, and family. Psalm 23, you could specify what you're praying. And instead of saying, the Lord is my shepherd, If we're praying for myself, spouse, and family, I talk to God. I talk to God all day long. And so where it says the Lord, I will say you, Lord. I speak to him. I speak to the Holy Spirit. The Lord's my Abba Daddy. The Holy Spirit is my guide, my comforter, my everything. So I say, you, Lord, are our shepherd. We shall not want. You make us to lie down in green pastures. Instead of he leads me to lie down in green pastures. You lead me. Instead of you lead me, it's you lead us beside the still waters. You restore our soul. You lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Yea, though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Even for the unsaved ones, when you pray that over them, you are giving God permission to operate in their lives. And the word of God always comes to pass. Okay, Psalm 91, how would you do that? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray Psalm 91 for myself, spouse, and family. Now, I recommend you pray Psalm 23 and 91 every single day. It's very important. It will save people's lives and protect us, okay? As you've heard in the previous examples of a friend of Pastor Joshua's who God told him to pray Psalm 91 every single day. Well, good thing he was obedient. You hear and obey. Hear and obey. See, good intentions don't help you. They don't protect you. I'm gonna start praying it. That never helps anybody. You actually have to do it. And if you are challenged on the days that you're challenged, it's very good to pray it all the way out. But on those days, say, I appropriate and activate Psalm 23 and 91 in Jesus' name. And then you get in your car. Don't do it after you get in the car. People have had challenges. It's before. I do it right when I get up because someone can fall down and hurt themselves right when they get out of bed. So don't we need to be protected all day, every day, anyway? And this man got electrocuted, and his friend got electrocuted because they were workers outside, and it was a big cable that came loose and electrocuted them, and they died because he was praying Psalm 91 every day. For some reason, he revived, and he quoted Psalm 91, and he woke up again and quoted Psalm 91, woke up again and quoted it, and he crawled over to his dead friend and laid hands on him, commanding him to be healed in Jesus' name. And then finally the ambulance attendants came, and the voltage that went through that cable was so strong that he had holes in his bottom of his shoes, that it went all the way through him, the electricity. And yet they both lived and survived. Psalm 91, prayed over yourself, prayed over your family without fail every day. The Lord had told me to compile all the protection prayers and daily prayers that Pastor Joshua told us to pray over ourselves for the end times. But they were in different lessons, in different semesters. And someone was going on vacation for a family reunion, said, Pastor Karen, could you please give us a protection prayer all the way to this country? Because there was a lot of challenging things going on there. And so I compiled all these prayers together in a daily protection prayer. And then I with one finger, as my husband was driving on the freeway and they were going to the airport. And then, you know, the next day the Lord says, I want you to type it out and I want you to revise it. And add some more things that, you know, I wasn't able to remember at the time. And I want you to give it to a couple that goes to ABC immediately. I said, yeah, but they live in Pasadena. He says, immediately. I said, well, I could text it too or email it. So I said, I'm just very challenged to be tired today, Lord. I could do it tomorrow. Today! I want it done today! And that's what I heard in my thoughts, like in that tone of voice. And I said, oh, it's urgent. And so I said, okay, I'll get up and have some green tea and start typing this up. And I emailed it. I called up the wife. I told her that I emailed it. She said, I'll start praying it right away if God told you to do it. Obey. I heard and obeyed. She had to hear and obey. Okay, that's all I knew. The rest of the week went by, And she and her husband were telling Pastor Joshua something the next Sunday, and he says, come up and give the testimony. They came up and gave the testimony that it was discovered a bomb was in the driveway of the neighbor that shared a driveway with them with no wall and in a very nice neighborhood. And when the bomb squad were called, they got the bomb and they put it in this big container thing, and they said it was a miracle. It did not go off. It was supposed to go off, and for some reason did not go off. And if I didn't obey, if they didn't obey to pray it, that whole neighborhood could have been affected. These prayers work. Pray it over yourself. You don't even know when it's going to be needed, and it doesn't matter when, because you know you're protected. Get it? Okay, so Psalm 91, instead of he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, you could say, I dwell for yourself, or we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We say of you, Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress and our God. In you we trust. Do you see how you can just personalize that? Okay, and the last part of Psalm 91 is a little confusing to some people, because the first part is us speaking to God, but then the very last part is God speaking to us. So when you personalize it, it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. So that's God speaking. Because God, you have set your love, because I have set my love upon you, Lord. Excuse me, because I have set my love upon you, Lord, therefore you will deliver me. You will set me on high, meaning promoting me, because I have known your name. I call upon you, Lord, and you answer me. You will be with me and my family. You will be with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life, you satisfy us and show us your salvation. So that part you want to flip a little bit differently, okay? But most other scriptures are us speaking to God. Ephesians 1:17 through 23, you want to pray that every day over yourself as well, because this will help you become more enlightened and your family as well in the wisdom and knowledge of God is so important. So you say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray Ephesians 1:17 through 23 for myself, my spouse, and my family, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many young people need more wisdom, right? Especially when the ones in your family that you see are not making the right decisions. And that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of our calling, or God's calling, what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far, far, far above. I love when Pastor Matthew taught us that. It meant, how far is it? Really far above. Of all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Because God, you put all things under your feet, and now they're under our feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then that will come to pass. So I just pray that over every one of our family members and ourselves right now in Jesus' name. Now we go to Ephesians 3:14 to 21, another one to pray every day, at least once a day. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray Ephesians 3:14 through 21 for myself, my spouse, and my family. For this reason, our whole family bow our knees to you, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that you, Lord, would grant unto us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that you, Lord, being rooted and grounded in love, that we are rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, which is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we all may be filled filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all the generations forever and ever. And I thank you, Lord, that this applies to every single one of us and our family members today in Jesus' name. Now pray these often using multiple affirmations, 10 to 50 times a day. Ask the Holy Spirit, how many affirmations do you want me to say? And Acts 16:31 says, we have called upon your name, O Lord. So in the name of Jesus, I and my household shall be saved. That means even if they don't live in your house now still, it means anyone that's in your immediate family. And then you can pray over your extended family. Luke 10:2, in the name of Jesus, God is sending laborers of the harvest to minister the gospel to my family, especially to so and so and so and so. And if they all need it, say all of them in Jesus' name. Note, before you start daily prayers of affirmation using Luke 10:2, pray once to God in the name of Jesus, Lord of the harvest, please send laborers in the harvest this very day to minister the gospel this very day, because that's your first request. You pray once out loud, and then afterwards you thank God with your affirmations, okay? Now, here's a testimony of praying for your loved ones. Jeff Van Holt was very famous, and he was with the group Black Sabbath, and he was in a lot of sin and demonic stuff, major demonic stuff. And he eventually was asked to star as the character Jesus in the Broadway musical Jesus Christ Superstar, which was a mockery of Jesus, and he did a very good job mocking Jesus. It was acclaimed, and he got a lot of money from that. And according to Wikipedia, in 1994, Jeff wrote an autobiography called From Darkness to Light. Because he was so heavily addicted to alcohol and drugs, he wasn't even really in his right mind most of the time. And he married a beautiful woman by the name of Maureen, but they called her Renee for her nickname. And she was a new Christian, and she started to pray for his salvation. So she had a lot of faith to marry this guy who was not saved, but she must have really loved him. They fell in love. And she knew the power of prayer. She knew praying for her husband, God would move. And they were accepting bids to rebuild a wing of their home from construction crews. And although Jeff was very wealthy, he still took the lowest, cheapest bid, which God ordained, because it just so happened the name of the contractor for home renovations is Nick DiCipio, who was an ex-mafia who became a Christian. And so because of Renee's prayer, God brought the right construction crew to be there daily, getting to know Jeff, talking to him, ministering to him, and they knew they had their plates full and had to be praying for his salvation, because there was a lot of times when Jeff was, you know, on the road or whatever, and demons would attack Renee at night, especially, and they'd be shaking the bed, and then pretty soon it got to the part where they were lifting her body up off the bed and elevating her body so she was stuck on the ceiling, and she's, you know, scared and screaming, and she was so scared, but all of a sudden she could say the name Jesus, and they released her, and she fell back down on the bed, and so she probably started praying more for her husband to get saved, because he was bringing those demons home that she didn't want having them attack her. So this was very serious stuff. And so this construction crew one day, Nick said to Jeff, and this is from quotation marks that from Jeff's book, "You played the part of Jesus Christ. Now do you want to meet the real Jesus?" And Jeff did not want to meet Jesus, but allowed Nick and his construction crew to pray for him. As they prayed for him, Jeff felt the weight of the world lift from him and said, "If this is Jesus, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior." So he was baptized that very day at the beach, and the Lord miraculously delivered him after that baptism of drugs and alcohol. Fenholt was converted to Christ. He beat his addictions and then spent the next several years struggling to balance his faith and his career before becoming a high-profile personality on TBN. This is according to Wikipedia. So, you know, he changed in every way. And he planned in 1993 to now do a Christian concert on Halloween in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, because he now is a worship leader. Having advanced notification from the Attorney General of Massachusetts of his arrival in Wisconsin, the Wiccan priest, you know, the high witchcraft priest of Wicca, Selena Fox of Circle Sanctuary, got a restraining order from the local county court prohibiting Jeff Fenholt, so that she was trying to stop the Christian concert. Well, he went to court and won. So he did the concert, and many people got ministered to. So see, from the turnaround from darkness to light. In 1996, Fenholt was the chairman of Washington for Jesus Youth Rally. On the nation's Capitol steps, drawing nearly 500,000 in attendance, Fenholt raised over $1.7 million to stage the event, donating $300,000 of his own money. He recorded solo albums for TBN, featuring many of his own compositions, and sold 3.3 million copies, one platinum and two gold albums. The power of a wife's prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, avails or affects much. It's very powerful. Do not take these prayers lightly. You don't know what's going to happen to the people you pray for, but certainly God will turn it around. Amen? B, warfare prayers. Pray in tongues for about 10 minutes before you do spiritual warfare prayers for your family, friends, and loved ones to get the anointing and flow of the Holy Spirit so he uses you to pray. Assume the subject's name, like say for instance is John. Pray the following aloud several times per day. So when I say John, then you could put your loved one's names in there. And if there's your whole family, just say my whole family. You don't have to name each one. In the name of Jesus, I forgive John or my whole family of all his sins, and I cover him with the blood of Jesus, according to John 20:23. When I see a parenthesis, I always quote the scripture reference, because it is the word of God that I want to show the devil what I'm standing on. If he is born again in the name of Jesus, then say this. If he or she is born again, then if they're not, don't pray this part. But if they are, pray this part. In the name of Jesus, I pray that the Spirit of God will fall fresh upon him or her, or on my whole family, or all the following people, and you can name them out, and I speak the peace of God upon him or her, or all of them. Next, in the name of Jesus, for all of them, I establish a hedge of protection around him or them and their home. I also say business, their travels, their vehicles, and everywhere they go. I bind every demon, devil, and evil spirit within the hedge of protection and shut them up for a season. Why? Because we want them to hear God's voice, not those demons. In the name of Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit will open John's ears or my family's ears so that he or they have hearing ears and will soften his heart or their heart so that he or they can hear and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, every time the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to John or my family at that time, I bind all religious spirits and demons and I shut them up, and they will remain silent for the duration of that ministry time. In the name of Jesus, I bind Satan from trying to hinder these prayers. And in the name of Jesus, I loose the powers of heaven to execute and enforce these prayers in Jesus' name. Will you endeavor to become a stronger spiritual warrior, to fight the good fight of faith, to fight the spiritual war for God, supporting your loved ones in spiritual battles they face by doing spiritual warfare, and intercede in a consistent manner of all these prayers on their behalf? It will make a difference. Amen. Amen. Step up your prayers, people. And those of you that have been praying diligently, do not be weary in well-doing. Do not give up. Do not get disheartened, because you sowed the seed. You have been watering and watering with your daily prayers. The Lord of the harvest is coming to bring big things to you. The Lord of the harvest has been working. The Lord of the harvest has had the angels out there aligning things so that you will see your prayers come to pass. Do not give up in Jesus' name. Amen? Now, it's very important that you listen to what ABC teaches you and obey exactly the way that we teach you, because we don't want you to learn through the school of hard knocks. Okay? And we give you the advice because we were knocked around, and we don't want you to go through that, because a lot of it is not pleasant. Some of it's very challenging, and it was only God that helped us through, and we don't want you to go through those terrible, terrible challenges. Okay? So a word to the wise: do not teach other people, especially semester two healing school and semester three healing school. You can teach them some things through healing school one, but don't give them too much, because then they won't be able to handle it and aren't mature in the things of the Lord by growing through being washed by the water of the Word of God and studying to show themselves a workman to be approved and need not be ashamed. So if they're have good intentions, but they don't know what they're doing, it could be dangerous. Make sense? So, you know, you tell a 14-year-old, a person, go ahead and move my car and park it. They never got in the car before, especially if it's a Ferrari. Don't do that. Okay? So you want an experienced driver to take the wheel, right? So, somebody did not obey, and a father taught his son and daughter-in-law how to cast out demons. We tell you, do not cast out demons till you really know what you're doing. If you were casting out demons, stop, so you don't have more troubles. Do not cast out any more demons, Healing School 1 students, until you are taught right, and because you don't want the seven worst coming back. And what's worse than the ones that you were dealing with that are really bad is we call them the worsters. So that's the worst of the worst are the worsters. And so especially do not teach them with rivers of living water to wash those demons, devils, and evil spirits out of a home, because they can come back even worse. So this couple moved to another state, and they moved in, and they wanted their house cleansed, and they casted out all the demons and washed them out with rivers of living water and did the three witnesses that they didn't know anything about. They just were praying this prayer and had no clue what it meant or how to maintain their authority. That night, more demons came back, because they were hearing things, you know, in the bump in the middle of the night, you know, noises. Then the noises got louder and louder, and then they started harassing them, and then the demons were making themselves so known. It was so harassing and so scary and so whatever. I mean, did they call for help? They called for help. It was in the middle of the night, and was it to you, Pastor Joshua? And now he had to do damage control in the middle of the night. Like, hello, he would have, you know, if they had known what they were doing, if they just needed some suggestions, he could have called in the morning when he was awake. But now it's like an emergency. They didn't want to end up like Rini, you know, with their bodies stuck to the ceiling, you know, because the demons were getting to that point of harming them or wanting to harm them. And so he was able to take care of the situation. And I imagine he led them in a repentance prayer. You know, confess your sins, CRB. And he took care of the situation until they could grow and learn on their own. But when we tell you not to do something, don't think, oh, I've been doing it and I don't need ABC. I could just do it on my own because I was taught by other churches. And take our advice. Take our advice, because we know and have a lot of situations where people have not taken that advice. And another situation where your prayers are very effective for someone else, I was praying Psalm 91. It's been years, you know, I guess 45, 50 years, been praying Psalm 91 and on a regular basis. And one day the Lord woke me up very, very early. He said, pray for your mother right now. Okay. So I called the house. Nobody was there. So she had left the house already. Those days, we didn't have cell phones. I said, oh, Lord, I'm going to pray Psalm 91, protection immediately. I prayed for protection, Psalm 91. And I kept saying, in the name of Jesus, my mother will live and not die. I don't know why I kept saying that. In the name of Jesus, my mother will live and not die. And then I was praying in tongues because I didn't know what was going on, but the Holy Spirit did. And then I couldn't get a hold of her, couldn't get a hold of her. Finally, in a late afternoon, I get a phone call. Your mother's at the hospital. She was in a severe car crash that totaled her car, and she should have died. They had to take the jaws of life to get her out of this crumpled sardine can car. It was a Mercedes, which is very, very sturdy car. They withstand most accidents. If it was crumpled like an accordion, you knew that it was a bad thing, and somebody made a wrong turn into her, and she didn't know they were coming, obviously. And it was all the windshield came down on her head, shattered the whole windshield, and the ambulance attendants kept saying, "Lady, are you okay?" And she just kept saying, "I will live and not die in the name of Jesus." "Lady, are you okay?" "I will live and not die." That's all she kept saying, "in the name of Jesus. I will live and not die." And after they got all the glass fragments out of her head and face and everywhere, they said she only had a broken finger. It was a miracle. They said anybody else should have been dead. They don't know how she survived in this crumpled car. But Psalm 91, the angels of God saved her life. When you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray, you're at your wit's end for your loved ones, stand in that gap. Keep praying. God hears your prayers. And I thank God that today He showed me that as we prayed together, we prayed for each other and each other's families without realizing it. And we put 10,000 or more to flight. So stand in the gap for spiritual warfare for your family. It does work. It will work no matter if you don't see what's going on. Don't speak out of your mouth, "It's not working. I don't see it happening." Speak the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that they have been saved. Thank you, Lord, that you have rescued them. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought the prodigals back. Thank you, Lord, that you've worked in and intervened in our finances. Whatever it is, pray forth what the word says, not what you're seeing. That you do have victory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you very much, Karen. That was great. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So now we want to spend some time breaking the curses on some sins and curses that you brought today in the two areas of substance abuse and also in generational curses. So if you go ahead and pull list out so you can lay your hands on it. Just take a minute to review it, to remind yourself some of those things that have been, some of those sins that have been broken or that you're currently dealing with in your life. In the area, particularly, let's start with substance abuse. Okay. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you that all my sins have been paid for, washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus loved me so much, He died for me. He nailed all my sins to the cross that I would be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I am dead to sin. I am dead to addictions. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of every time that I have given into immoderation, extremism, going too far in any area, giving in to the lust of the flesh, driven by the temptations of demons to overindulge in anything. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of all substance abuses, including those of fat, chocolate, soft drinks, salt and sugar, caffeine, tobacco smoking or chewing, alcohol, legal and prescription drugs, such as tranquilizers, painkillers, and all illegal drugs, including cocaine, marijuana, PCP, meth, heroin, etc. I repent of all sins, of addictions to sex, pornography, video games, TV, movies, sports, or to any carnal or ungodly thing. In the name of Jesus, I forgive every person from my heart who has participated in or caused me to sin or been affected by these sins. In the name of Jesus, I bless them from my heart. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I take away the legal right of Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit to operate on me, my body, or my life because of these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly soul tie to this sin and to every spiritual being and every person connected to or behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse, every vow, every covenant, every contract, every hold, every hook, and every connection to evil resulting from these sins. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free by Jesus Christ, he or she whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. And if you've been bound to any of those kind of things or are bound, you know the freedom of confessing those, of breaking those curses, breaking those holds. There was one young man who was having a challenge with smoking. And so he had gone to his pastor and he said, you know, I really want to break this, but it just seems like I just can't get rid of it. You know, I quit for 3 days, 4 days, whatever, and then before you know it, I'm back in it. So the pastor said, well, just try doing this. Every time you're tempted to smoke, just say, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I have lost the desire for smoking. And he says, even as you're smoking a cigarette, just say that. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, I have lost the desire for smoking. And so he began to do that. So he'd be standing there, you know, or whatever, he'd start smoking a cigarette, he'd just start confessing, start doing affirmations. And then one day he was walking down the street and he thought, I'm just feel like having a smoke. So he takes out the cigarette and he starts to light it up and he says, he looks at it and he says, what in the world am I doing? That's it. Threw the cigarettes away. Never smoked another cigarette in his life. So by doing the affirmations, by breaking the curses, you have your sample prayer for breaking curses. So anytime you need to use that, this was in module 16. You've got it right there, so you can do that. Okay, let's look now at the curses relating to generational sins. Okay, so I'm going to lead us again in a prayer. In the name of Jesus, I repent of all sins of my ancestors, because their sins have produced generational curses which have come down to me and to my family. In the name of Jesus, this day I terminate all generational curses and all streams of sin and curses stop right now in me and my family. In the name of Jesus, I repent of all sins of all types, including sexual sins, committed by my parents, my grandparents, all their ancestors, all their sexual partners, and all the ancestors of the sexual partners. In the name of Jesus, I sever every connection. I break every hold, every tie, every connection, every agreement. And in the name of Jesus, I break these between me and all the effects of these sins, and between me and all the demons, devils, and evil spirits behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I forgive every person from my heart who has participated in these sins or caused me to sin or have been affected by this sin. I bless them from my heart. Now remember, we're forgiving everyone from our ancestry, our parents, our aunts and uncles, and theirs as well, back into the generations. We're forgiving them. In the name of Jesus, I renounce Satan and every demon, devil, and evil spirit behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I take away the legal right of Satan, every demon, devil, and evil spirit to operate on me, my body, or my life because of these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every ungodly soul tie to this sin and to every person and spiritual being connected to or behind these sins. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse, every vow, every contract, every hold, every hook, and every connection to evil resulting from these sins. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free by Jesus Christ, and he or she whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are setting us free to serve you, to be all that you have called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just take a moment to go over the homework, which I have here somewhere. Ah, here it is. Okay. So this is for today. Review module 18, Daily Steps for Walking in Divine Health, and module 25, How to Receive Your Healing Manifestation. And then choose either an item in which you need to improve or to increase, or an item that you need to add to your lifestyle. Start this week. So I know it was one of the things that we were supposed to be doing is looking at those lists in the past and determining things to add. Well, now's a good time to go back and look at that and see what it is that you need to improve, increase, or to add to your lifestyle. Remember, we're encouraging a lifestyle around here. Number two, again, dealing with curses and sins, we are to write out and bring to class on Sunday, May 5th, that would be next Sunday, a list of curses and sins in the areas of works of darkness and on impatience. So if you could work on that over this next week, we will break the curses on those two items next Sunday. All right. God bless you all. Amen.
Father, we thank you that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your body to be broken, to pay that price that we could not pay. And from it, we receive healing and wholeness. It is the children's bread, for we are God's children, bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. And the word of God is clear throughout that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus, for we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. From the moment Jesus paid that price, it belonged to us. And so we put forth our faith action plan now, and we take this broken body of Jesus, and we receive our healing, our wholeness, our wellness, our manifestation of physical wellness. In Jesus' name, let's partake together in remembrance. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. Do this in remembrance of me. That's all you ask, is that we do it in remembrance of you as we partake. And we can partake as often as we desire. We set the standard. You put no limitations on us, Lord. So it is our joy to accept the invitation to partake of the body and now the blood of our Jesus. For in our hands we hold the cup of blessings. We hold the cup of life. The Zoe life of Jesus Christ fills this and permeates our physical bodies, bringing life and health and strength to us. We do remember Jesus. We thank you and we pray together. Let's take together in Jesus' name.